Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Black Panther Corner with General, not with General, with Sis Nelly. How y'all doing today? Peace and power, family. Everybody on the line today? Can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you, Queen.
Okay, I'm sorry. How you doing today?
it's a glorious day to be black.
Always, always. I appreciate you calling in today. Go in there and see who else is in there. Make sure everybody on there is unmuted and everything, Jay. I appreciate you calling in. This is our third episode of the Truth and Power Corner. We're trying to get this technology together. But we're
yes,
working
ma'am.
On it. So how you and your family been doing?
We've been going through the ups and downs of living in this capitalist society with all the greed and corruption and the anti-African and black atmosphere that's going on under the Trump and Biden administration. But other than that, we survivors. You know, we keep pushing. Won't stop, can't stop.
Exactly. I want to always, you know, start the show off by saying salute to our political prisoners and our family behind the walls. And family, I don't care what anybody says, we got to start looking at this situation differently with our family that's in prison. I used to think so crazy before I understood the snares, the way that this system and this system of America works. Our people do not deserve to be in these prisons like this, not being fed correctly, ill, sick. COVID-19, we have political prisoners that have been in jail for over 30 and 40 years, not just in jail, but in solitary confinement. If you all do not know what that means, look it up. Solitary confinement, and not just for 5 days a year. They're keeping them in there like 30 years, 25 years. No food, no sunlight. And then we say, they deserve it. We don't help them in any kind of way. We got to look at that differently, family. What are your thoughts on that, comrade?
Well, I look at it from the perspective of having been incarcerated in juvenile hall as a youth at 12, as a teenager, and as an adult. And the first penal colony that I went to was Vacaville State Prison, is where they filled some of the comrades up with medication. And they tried different experiments on the brothers. And so being the general population.
Wait a minute, comrade. Did you say that they they already killing them, right? So they experiment on them just like they do in the army in different states.
I'm saying that experimenting on us is a part of the penal colony. It's part of the hospital. It's a part of our sojourner being in the United States. They use us as lab reps, you know. And so they've been killing us. And that's just part of the history of coming in contact with the Tehuti, the Tupaguyu, global white supremacy racism. So that part I would like to tell the audience, and I would like to tell all brothers and sisters, there's not a time when they didn't kill us. Now, the process of killing us and at the pace and rate of killing us, it might have slowed or it might get faster or it might go into a different form or disguise. But going back to the penal colony, we have some brothers that has been in solitary confinement, that has been in ethic, that has been in the hole, and that haven't seen light. For fear of if they did hit the main line, brothers and sisters who profess to be revolutionaries or workers for the people or activists would have to have that prison line come in line with the policies of the Panthers 10-point party plan or with the statement of whatever organization that they're supposed to be professing. You know, and they would have to get dope off the line and homosexuality off the line. But on the flip side, the state locks them up because they know these are some brilliant minds. And if these minds had a line to the people and to the lawyers and to the resources, they would produce a campaign that would transform the population that's out the boots on the ground, to the point where we would demand that our political prisoners become free, and we will still transform the United States, and we will still be asking for a portion to become the Republic of New Africa, and also we would want to migrate into Africa to build those connections so we'll be plugged into the resources. And
wow, comrade, that's something that you I thank you for pointing that out, because that's why they keep that disconnect. That's why they don't want us to help them. Family, we got to change that. Finish talking about, because I never even thought of it like that. Wow. And it's like they have sat here and studied it. I mean, they just studied it to a science. You know what I'm saying? And that's why they keep telling us we have to get analytical and a scientific mind as well. Because we ain't going to be able to keep playing these games with these folks the way that they doing things. They are taking us on every end. And, comrade, I forgot to tell you, why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are so that they can know who we speaking with today.
Greetings, everyone. Numakiwawa. I am King Ajalon, the Anasubu of Loyal African Minds. The word Numakiwawa, Nu, represents creation of the cosmos. Ma represents my eye, the divine order. Ki represents our inner strength. And Wawa represents our ancestors in the power of creation. So when we say Numakiwawa, we say from the creational powers in this divine order, we pull on the strength of our ancestors. And the word Ansubu means a servant, leader, teacher, a high priest, a comrade, and a companion. I am a servant first to the people. King Ajalon the Ansubu of Loyal African Minds, our goal at Loyal African Minds is for worldwide African unity. And we know communication is the key.
Exactly. All global communication and connection We got to get back to our people, our roots, right? And I've been listening to a lot of different people and, you know, all these different things that's going on. What are your, I just want to know how you looking at things, you know, coming from a young person's stance, right? Because at first I was looking at it like we were dumb. You know what I'm saying? But then I had to change mine and not be so negative, but it'd be hard to do that. So I just want to know, what be on you all's mind, you know, the younger generation, like your age, do y'all think of the, how are y'all thinking, you know?
Are you addressing me, King Angela?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm 53 years old, and if you consider that young, thank you. I appreciate you.
Come on.
I really appreciate you, sister. You know, I'm going to polish your crown for you because that was some beautiful speaking.
Are you 53 for real?
And I'm located in the Bay Area, California. I do a lot of the works in Oakland and grassroots works in the city of Vallejo. My family, when I grew up, some of them was FOIs, Nation of Islam, MGT, and some of them was Panthers. And some of them were Black Hebrew Israelites. My elders were part of the Marcus Garvey movement, and some was part of the NAACP. So I was surrounded by people who wanted to make a change. So I didn't really care about the names of the organizations. I cared about the work that had to be done. And I think if we make that our common interest, we can get a lot accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things, because I know that we, even though we all on different, you know what I'm saying, different ideologies, different beliefs, we still got to be able to put that to the side, because at the end of the day, if we don't start riding race first, we're going to keep being messed up. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep having that raw, that we're going to keep messing up if we don't stop doing this. I understand we got a lot that we got to fix in our communities, and I'm talking about a lot. And it starts with us, with healing, because, like I said, I didn't even, I'm sorry to think you one of my younger comrades, but I still didn't think you were, you know, older than I was. But you came up, you know, came up during the time I came up, right? We used to be, yeah, we was in the church, but it seemed like we were learning, we were being together, we were being a family, you know what I'm saying? Now it's like the communities are so disconnected, and where it's just enemies and snakes everywhere and no connectivity. How can we get that back?
Historically, we have to understand that when we developed our own communities, we had community. When we got gentrified from our own communities, or when they got bombed and destroyed, the society was redlined and was targeted for us to go into these little patches within the urban areas. And so as we developed ourselves in these patches, we became isolated patches from the greater Black community, and we start calling ourselves hoods. And so now we have a hood mentality instead of a community mentality, because the psychological and the geographical and economical design behind it was strategic, meaning that global white supremacy has a think tank, and they do everything from a sociological point of view, and we do things on a survival level. So the best way that we can become a community together, we have to social engineer ourselves into what type of community that we want to transform ourselves into. Just thinking every individual is going to love their brother is not viable because there is psychological programming coming from the media, the schools, the churches, and politics. So once we realize that we're in a psychic war, that we're in a spiritual war, and that we're in a mental war, and that we're in a dietary war, and whoever they call themselves the leaders, we have to come together at the table and leave their party plans, their ideologies on how to achieve liberation and freedom, and just come to the common bare necessity. How do we function as a community that communicates with itself, health and self-love? So it doesn't mean that you have to give up your political plans or your ideology, but on the bottom level, right, we have to set our ego and pride aside and just say, hey, right now we need to learn how to communicate and we need to learn how to stay healthy, and that's what makes community.
Exactly. And being self-sufficient, and that's one of the things we need to get back to, because I know we celebrated Dr. King's birthday here this month, but you know, with what they brought in, that integration was the worst thing that ever happened to us. I don't care what anybody says, along with a lot more things, but that broke us down, where we stopped, you know, owning property, where we were graciously, you know, allowed to spend our money, but in the same instance, we were being enslaved and, you know, tricked into, you know, what was going on. But we got to get back to that land ownership and different things like that, right? How do we get that critical mass where, like, we got over 50 million of us here, right? But a lot of us not on the same, you know, we're not on the, how do we get that critical mass? You see what I'm saying? That like-mindedness, working together in that one goal of liberation.
Well, from a low African mind perspective, we have to figure out the source of the division. And the division started when we got off the slave ship and put us on different plantations and gave us their names. So the Johnson boys' plantations had competition against the Smithtown plantations. And this is what they did inside breeding. We have to understand that we have been bred to be competitors of one another. And so we have to get the information out, as that long as we are in these people's last name, whatever program that goes with those last names, we find our ego and our pride inside the names they recall and the locations that they have put us in, meaning plantations. So we have to overcome, right, the language barrier is what divides us, and the geographical location that we pride ourselves in, right, is also a hindrance to the psychic. So if I'm bragging I'm a Joseph, and you bragging that your last name, and I'm bragging I'm from California, and you bragging from where your location is at, right, even though we might be in the same Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army, or, you know, Republic of New Africa, or FY, we got these mental barriers that hinder us from looking at the bigger picture. So in our conscious mind, you know, we're revolutionaries. But in our local minds, in our community, you know, hey, I'm from Country Club Crest, man, California, Vallejo, baby. And so getting back to the original point, the slave ship, regardless what language we zone, we were unified because we was under pressure. And so some of us don't feel like we're under pressure. And that's the point I'm trying to make. When the pressure is on, we automatically unify. I've seen that in prison. I've seen that in high school. Whenever there's some pressure on black people, right, we have no one else to turn to but for each other. But when it seems like there's no pressure, you know, some of us want to be Mexican, some of us want to be Filipino, some of us want to be white, some of us want to be part of the melting pot.
Yeah, I understand it. And that's my whole thing, right, because I said the same thing. I said, okay, if they push us, and they push us and push us, well, we have to lean on each other. But if we're not prepared, right, How are we going to do that? How are we going to stand up and be that? Because like I told them, if they bring the fight to us, we ain't going to be able to say, hey, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to go to war. You know what I'm saying? So, but we don't have enough people prepared. Some people not even buying guns and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we have to look at African society. Everybody didn't have a bow and arrow and a spear. And so those who are not buying guns, we have to encourage them to go plant food. One thing about the globe, within all earthlings that's called humans, there's a function for each and every mentality. Everybody's not going to make a good soldier. Some people will get on the battlefield and help the other soldiers get by not paying attention. There's other people who, under pressure, they will give up the information that they know. And so some people are better off than a part of the administration. We understand globally every system that had an army also had an administration behind it so the orders can be carried out and that the system can function. And so some things the soldiers didn't have to worry about, it was the administrative duties because the administration is. So we have to really understand that when we are trying to strategize, we have to understand that everybody has to be in their own department. You know, everybody's not has the mentality to pick up the gun. Everybody is not classified to be a warrior or warriors. Everybody's not going to sign up to be a soldier. Some people, for instance, love Jesus. Are you hearing me? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. Yeah, I'm here. Because that's what I was thinking. Some of the military guys, right, the militant guys, they like, what do y'all think this spiritual humanity is going to do for us being at war? And I'm like, but that's how Haiti won. You know what I'm saying? With spirituality and militancy. How do we get that back?
This is what I'm saying. Some of us love Jesus. And under that upbringing, it's embedded in us, right? It is, you know, it's better to die in Jesus' name, right, and go to heaven. The only time that some of us as Christian folks who are embedded in it, we can join the United States military and defend our nation. But to speak against the nation, the republic, or anything else, you're going to hellfire. So now we have to get the psychological reality to our people that Ethiopia is the oldest Christian nation, and it defeated Rome. It defeated Italy. It defeated Portugal, and it defeated the British, and it defeated the Arabs. And so once we have the understanding that not just Haiti, everybody want to look at Haiti. Well, Haiti was a unique circumstance, and a lot of people want to say that they use spirituality. And I just want to tell you, it wasn't just, you know, that they used French. The French was cruel. You know, the Spanish side gave the Dominican side a little break, you know, and they got to relax. But the French side was very cruel, and that pressure made the pipe bust. So we've seen juju, roots, voodoo, ibu, ifi, Hosa, Yoruba. We've seen these religious systems or spiritual systems on the continent, and they got colonized, and they still are working for the French colonial and British power. So, you know, the spirituality is not what makes you fight. It's the pressure what makes you fight. And a lot of us don't feel that we don't think we have the pressure because we have the illusion of inclusion. But the religious doctrines tell you, slave be good to your master. Serve them like you would serve Christ. Love your enemies. In order to follow Christ, you got to hate your mother and father. So right there, that's self-hate when you have to hate your mother and father and your brothers and sisters. You have to love the slave master and serve him like you serve Christ because it's God's will. And you have to love your enemies in order to be a good person. So our biggest problem is that if you got a people mind, you got the greatest weapon.
That's true. That's our greatest weapon is our mind. And being so indoctrinated, like I keep telling our people that it's time for us to take back control of our children's education, right? What are your thoughts on that? Because a lot of parents feel like they're doing this time right here since the coronavirus, they can't teach their children that this is the worst time. They need to be back in school. And I keep trying to emphasize this is one of the things that could have happened to our children. So could you weigh in on that for me?
Well, number one, in Africa we had learning centers, okay? We didn't have schools. We had learning centers and we had universities. We didn't have colleges. Colleges and schools was a part of the Europeans. We had universities and we had learning centers, and it's a big difference, right? Universities let you know what's universal knowledge. Learning centers produces scholars. So you, on the college campuses, you have learning centers. In a college, you have a collection of ideals that you have to accept. If you don't accept, you don't get the A or B. In a school, it's like animals, like fish. They follow the leader, right? If you go outside of the curriculum, right, you can get kicked out of school, expelled, or get an F or a D or a C. So you have to follow the curriculum, and you have to use the answers that they put on the board or that come out their mouth are the ones in the books. So when we think about erudency in academia and education, we have to understand that we never had a system. We always was in somebody else's system. So once we can identify that any land particles that we get, if we ask for land, eminent domain will allow the National Guard, your Army Reserve, and the military, and the FBI, and the CIA, and the police agencies to raid it and take it over because they have a weaponry. So that's just a question about land here in the United States. So I don't want nobody fooling you. But it's about academics and education. As long as we plug in our children's minds, right, into a public school system, they're going to still be produced to be black, Negroes, colors, or African Americans. And what that produces is consumers and workers. For other people's corporation. It doesn't produce self-sufficiency.
Exactly. You hit that right on the head because they are only creating prisoners and slaves. That's what I keep trying to explain because we have to take back over that. And like I said, during this time right here, a lot of our people are have to make their decision to, you know, take their vaccine or send the kids back to school, get all these new laws and different things that's going on. You know, it's going to be some changes going on. Ever since these elections, you know, we see where we stand as a people. I want to emphasize and get over the importance of us having our own spaces and how we need to turn to each other now and support each other, or we're not going to make it. Expound a little bit further.
Well, we have to understand what a republic is. We got to understand what a democracy is, and we have to understand what a capitalist institution is. Now, once we have the knowledge of that, see, a lot of us come out the womb, and we go to church, we go to school, we talk to vote, and then we say we want this, and they ain't going to do this, and they ain't going to do that. For number one, it ain't their job to do nothing of it, whether you pay taxes or not. The job relies on us to know how many people are in a particular city. Our city of Vallejo has 140,000. Out of that 140,000, we'll say 48,000 is black. Well, 48,000 black people paying taxes, we're supposed to get an economic review board, and we're supposed to go to the city hall because this is civics, and we're supposed to tell the city council, right, we pay 48% of the city taxes, so therefore we want 28% of the budget to be responsible back into our community grants, not block grants, but grants. And then those community grants should be released to whatever governing bodies within the community to develop and redevelop those communities. And this is what white folks do and Asians do, because black people get black grants.
But my thing is this.
And the other people,
but,
huh?
But this my thing, though, you know, saying we got to be realistic about this. We already know that we have been systematically racially profiled and kept out of everything, mortgages, business, land ownership, all of these different things. So that right there, see, that you know, talking about them allocating money to doing things for our communities, this stuff right there doesn't even equates me because they don't give a damn about us. You see what I'm saying? And then they got to the point where we don't even care about ourselves, where we don't even support ourselves. Go ahead.
And I understand what you're saying, Millie Queen, but out here in the city of Vallejo, we got FAM and we have Lawyer After Commons and we have some other organizations. And so we're pushing, right, for our people to learn civics. Because as a taxpaying community, if you have your paperwork together, you can go vote on it, and they have to do it. One thing we never did, we asked them to do shit for us, and we asked them to write the documents. Well, civics is when you write your own documents, and you know the percentage that you put in the coffers, and then you vote, and you get your own contractors. You don't wait for them to find a contractor to do. So right now, it's all about us learning civics on a local level, right? And that was a part of the original path of plan, right, is to get into counties where we can.
Did you say, hold on, let me ask you this. You said that's the original Panther plan, okay, that was back
that was
in the 19.
No, listen. Let's say it like this. I said that was a part of the original Panther plan. It wasn't the whole plan.
Okay, that's
it
what I'm saying.
A small piece, and that was the point. That piece is called community development.
I said, what state you say you in?
I'm in California, Oakland, California.
Oh, okay, California. See, that's what I'm saying. But see, that's the thing, though. That does not saying that if we pay taxes, I pay taxes every time I walk into a store and buy a bottle of water, right? But a pig can step outside that store and shoot me in my back and wouldn't nobody give a damn, don't nobody care, right? Because my tax dollars don't mean nothing. So saying go down there and vote and the civic money, this, that, and the other,
but
that makes sense. Why would we teach them that when it has shown throughout our history that it has not worked?
You didn't hear the other part. The first part is you have to learn civics, and you have to create your own tax review board. You have to have a legal tax review board, right, that participates in the city council, that makes a statement and declaration of how many people are in the black population. And then you have to bring that black population to realize how much they put into the city coffers. And you have to vote yourself into the city government, right, through contract or through vote, right? So it doesn't matter if the rest of the city don't vote. You have to stand up and tell the city, hey, we're 48%. This is how much we pay in taxes, right? And here's our documents that we want to take up for vote. Black people have not been participating. We've been waiting for them to do stuff for us.
I'm talking about my city.
You talking about your little city
where you live, because I don't give a damn what nobody say. This government, this system does not work for us. I don't care how often, I don't care how many black people they put in there. I don't care. That's in office right now. They're saying she's African American, but a couple of years ago she was Indian. So now everybody, she in there for us, and she ain't locked up so many black men. She don't care nothing about us.
You're looking at something on the federal level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's on the federal level. See, I'm not speaking about a federal level. I'm talking about the community that our sons and daughters in, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about creating our own documents and submitting them to be voted upon in our own community. Like they did back in the 60s and 70s, right? And that's how they got control of the community, right? They wasn't thinking about the, they wasn't talking about the federal level. They were talking about what they can do around them in their neighborhood. And so we had after school programs because why? The parents and the community stood up. They knew how much we paid in taxes. They knew what our population was, and they knew what type of resources that we wanted in there. And we held each other accountable to make it happen. We didn't hold white folks accountable to make progress for black people. We held each other accountable. And so that's the part I'm talking about, where I've seen the Black Panther Party do, along with the Nation of Islam and along with some other grassroots organizations in Oakland and in Vallejo in the Bay Area. When I was coming up, right, they pulled the resources together and they created documents and instruments, right, where the
I don't knock anything that our ancestors and our elders did, because they did what they had to do at that time. But when it's this 2021, as a matter of fact, because we are already into January, almost February of 2021, as a matter of fact, and I'm on a list, and I know a lot more people, you know, we on list coming out, they want to vaccinate us because it's mandatory, because, you know, all these different laws and this, that, and the other. So my common sense as a black person in a murder, has shown me, told me, raped me, murdered me, killed me, because, see, me are my ancestors. Me are my people. So you're going to tell me that it is because we are not doing our civic duty, subscribing to their ignorance, their lies, because their government is a lie.
This is what I'm saying.
I respect, I get total respect and salute to all my elders and ancestors and what they did. We have to be realistic. Tell me where this government and working with it and participating in it has improved life for black people, because we are murdered every day.
I never advocated that, sister. That's not my advocation. I'm not advocating that this government can improve our lives.
We'll be wasting time putting paperwork together, going to a civic meeting, playing their
You're not listening to what I'm saying. You're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm not saying going to their meetings going to improve it. I see us coming together and creating our own civic boards and our own review board and voting on policies that we want, right? And getting the city council.
So our own government, right?
That's the bigger plan, sister. I'm just talking about on a local level. I'm talking about where the kids play on the streets, right? So I'm not talking about the Republic of New Africa, and I'm not talking about migration in Africa. I'm just talking about right there, where our brothers and sisters at in the community, where they wake up and get in their car and go to work, what they can do on a local level until we fall into a national program. So we can work on three dimensions. We can work on building the Republic of New Africa, and we can work on connecting with Mother Africa, and we can work on our individual communities.
Well, like I said, I don't believe in their democracy, their capitalism. All I believe in is if we don't get it together as a people, start working together, healing together, supporting each other, we're not going to be able to make it to that next level. If you want to call in and join us, you can call in the show at 516-387-1549, it's the Truth and Power Corner with Sis Nelly. We have King Ajuman on the line today, and we just chatting, just seeing what's up, because we got to have these conversations, family, because we are not, I'm just at a loss, you know, for right now. I know we are progressing, but I want to ask you a serious question, King. Like, since our brothers and sisters that did do what they did in the 60s and 70s. Do you think we've made any progress? Do you see any progress as a collective, as a people?
I see multiple progress. I see phenomenal progress. We didn't hit every stratosphere. We have brothers and sisters who got phenomenal bank accounts. We've entered areas and got more skills. And this is on the individual level. Now, with that progress, can we bring it home and put it in the pot? Is the question that is called unity and it's called solidarity. So there's multiple levels of progress, right, of us as a people doing individual things. Now, we need to take those individuals and uplift the people. And that's how Laura Everton Mine role. And I want to reiterate, if anybody review what I'm saying, I was saying us healing ourselves and us working together in our local areas. That was the logistics of my statements. We're not waiting for anyone to do anything for us. That we can gather together in our local communities and implement whatever we need. But going back to your question, yeah, we made humongous progress. You got people on the internet; they got their own shows, they create their own content. We've connected to Mother Africa and Central and South America. We got people raising the red, black, and green flag. We got people buying houses and refurbishing them. We got a lot of stuff going on. Now we need the media. We need the outlet to show us what's going on. So our thing, once again, is communication. Everybody in their own pocket in the corner of the world can't see what the next person is doing because the media only shows us what they call crime, depression, and suffering of blacks. But we have the microphone and we have the camera now, and the truth changes the narrative.
Exactly. And I say, I guess I'm looking at it on a different level because I understand our progress is under the pressure that we've been under and we've survived. We are resilient people, right? But for us to be gods and goddesses, we're not living like that. I don't care what anybody says. That's why I have a hard time using the words king and queen. You know what I'm saying? Because when you are a king or queen, first of all, you are, that means you are a provider, you are a ruler, you know what I'm saying? I sit back and I understand and I overstand the brainwashing and the trickery and the fuckery that we have been put on. It is the greatest mindfuck of all time, you feel me? But I look at this and I look 10 years down the line, where these indoctrination centers, they're not teaching our children. We don't even have a food supply anywhere. So when somebody's saying, have we progressed, what have we progressed to? You see what I'm saying? And then we don't have people that's looking at it. We still have people that's thinking that it's all right. When do we think we're going to hand out to our children if we're not building things for ourselves? It's a few here building, it's a few there building, but don't nobody want to build together. I don't understand that.
So now we come into the important part of our dialogue, Millie Queen, is that there are people doing things. So our solidarity, our unity, our union, our alliance to one another has to be repaired. The FBI, the CIA, the police, the sheriff, and the federal government and state government has a manifesto that they cannot let the rise of a black messiah or the unification of the black community. So, since they have a program to stop that, and we see the program operating, now we can counter that. But if we're blind to that there is a systematic program, we're going to keep on talking about we need to come together. But once we can point out how the division and where the division and who's causing the division and how to spot the agent provocateur or the forces or resources that is trying to divert our collective unity, well, then we can push forward and strategize against it. But the reason we don't see it, because we haven't had the Pan-African Conference here in the United States where we sat down. We allow popular so-called self-appointed African leaders to go and start a black agenda that never ever gets manifested. But boots on the ground, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, on our block, we have to reinforce the ideal of solidarity and what solidarity is. We say unity, but has anybody ever showed the people what unity look like? What did this unity look like? What is it supposed to do? Is it another million man march? Is it chanting Black Lives Matter? Right? Is it pushing the Black Panther 10-point plan? Is it what the Muslims want? You know what I mean? Is it saying Rastafari? You know, is it waving a red, black, and green flag? Well, it's all of that. And more. And so when we get to see, right, what our unity look like, since we got the camera and we got the microphones, it automatically goes into the neurons of the mind. So we're in an age right now where we can show ourselves as unity. At first, we didn't have control of medias and microphones, so therefore the images that we saw was undivided. And the newspapers and the phone calls we get, hey, the Klan burnt this over here and like that. So they kept us in a state of fear and suffering and stress. Now we get to show each other the beauty in the things that we're producing. We get to use the mic and the camera to show that we can be united.
And that's my whole thing. Like I keep telling them, we gotta focus on us. And like I say, I'm not racist. Well, I don't think black people can be racist anyway, but you know, they said it's our time, right? And I feel like this is our reset. It's time for us to get back to our ancestral ways, natural ways. It's a lot of us that we're just not connected to nature and the earth anymore. That's one of the reasons why we are experiencing some of the things we are experiencing. What are your thoughts on, like, healing and the aspect of healing? Because some people feel like you don't have to heal in order to move forward, but I found out that the healing process is necessary when it came to me. So what are your, how do you feel about this?
So, going into the energy of healing, the ideology of healing, and the rituals and practice of what healing is and what's not healing, we have to look at the root. So if we can use our imagination, which is the word breaks down to image of a nation, and use our critical thinking through the record of time, we see the Nadu in India, black people with afros. We see the Gritos in the Philippines. We see the Talua, or the Aborigines of Australia. And we see the Africans in Africa. And we see the Indigo Negro, or the original Aboriginal here in the Americas. And what happened is like a white cat came in the jungle. And there was so much food in the jungle that we didn't bother the white cat. But the white cat brung disease and infectious. And then the white cat poisoned all the leaders and all the priests, right? Until the white cat morphed itself into a big cat and it started controlling the jungle. Well, that's the same thing when the white man came over into our different places, right? Inside our psychic, we did not know not to embrace, right, a newcomer into the ecosystem, because all we saw was ourselves in the ecosystem with the plants and animals. So we thought this was supposed to be a part of our ecosystem. Turns out it was the destroyer of the ecosystem. So that's where the first damage came in, right, is accepting something that's not for you. And so when we realize that the more that we accept that which is unnatural, we cannot heal. Because the healing itself and that heals the trauma is going back into nature, into being in balance with Mother Earth, sending that sun, its rays, causes all the life force on this planet. And we were in harmony and balance with it. It gave us our uploads and downloads. And it calls us to dance. It calls us to work together. So the healing process is an evolutionary process. The healing process will always go on because healing only means health. And health means holistic. And holistic means holy. And holy means divine. And divine means your original self. And so our neurons will get our nervous system, which will get our thoughts back in sync to this environment called Earth. And so we're moving in that direction, but we have a lot of distractions.
We have too many distractions.
This is what I try to tell everybody from a lawyer from my perspective. Romans, they roamed the earth. Greeks, if you take the G and you put a dash between the R-E-E-K, you have G. Reek. G, they reek, so you can smell them before they come in. Germans, they spread germs. Russians, they rush in. Spain, they will spin the truth. France, the land of the Franks. Right, the Frankensteins, right? They will steal your mind. You
chirp.
You know.
I heard a guy earlier today using those terms that you were using, describing the different. Weren't those different native indigenous people of the land?
No, those are Europeans. All those are Europeans.
No, not those. The names you were saying before when you were saying the Caribbeans and different things.
Oh yeah. When I was talking about the Indigo Negroes and the Negritos of the Filipinos and the Aboriginals of Australia, those are the original people. And we didn't know that those people was unnatural because all we ever had for millions of years is that what belonged to nature. We never knew something unnatural would be on this planet, and that's where the damage is.
But it looks so different from us. You see what I'm saying?
But still, I mean, here you is living your life by yourself, and you walk to the beach, and you see a white turtle, or you see a white cat, right? Even though it's white, you know, you got orange cats and brown cats, and you got black cats and green. You know, you see the different colors in this.
Oh, you just don't, since everybody's just having a good time, you ain't even just noticing it. But all along, they plotting to kill us all.
Right. So, I mean, you're doing you every day. You don't know nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you look at it like it's unique, you know, and now you want to play with it. It's like playing with a snake. You know, shit.
Yeah, I see what you're saying now. Okay, yes. I totally agree with you on that. I want to emphasize, I want to also say salute to all Black media platforms. We want to continue to thank you all for the hard work that you all are doing out here, bringing this truth to our people, because knowledge is key, and we need to keep bringing this truth to each other and keep awakening and keep that awakening moving, that vibration moving, that frequency going, because we got to break these spells. We got to teach our children. And in order to teach our children, we got to teach ourselves, because a lot of us don't know our history. And that's something that I found out. And if we don't know it, how are we going to teach it to our children? This has been a great, great discussion today. I want you to, like I said, just weigh in on you know, what's going on, give us a closing, because like I said, we've had a great discussion. I want to thank everybody for listening. We will have a our regular show will be Friday at 5 p.m. Central. This is just an impromptu show. We want to say salute to Brother Noble and Sis Mo. Get better. We love y'all. We love our family in Colorado. Salute to Unity Community, Mile High News. Okay, King Azulon, you know, tell us about, you know, the organizations that you work for in your community, how they, you know, they can get in touch, support, and give us a closing. And we're going to go ahead and close it out. I have enjoyed our conversation. And like I said, we got to keep having these conversations so that we can, you know, get to the roots of these, get this nation built. So go ahead and come in. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome, and I hope I can get you to come on my show, and I hope you invite me back. Well, with that being said, I would like to go back to the introduction. African National Prison Organizations, we ask each and every person in each and every community and locale, whether you deal with the New Black Panthers, whether you deal with the Nation of Islam, whether you deal with the Moors, whether you do it with any local community group or whether you come into Law Africa Mind. We need a prisoner outreach, because while they've been screaming Black Lives Matter, we should have been screaming free political prisoners. While they're screaming Black Lives Matter, we should be screaming reparations now. That's another story. Now, getting back to me and my organization, King Ajulani, the Ansubo of Law Africa Minds, you can catch us on Facebook, Law Africa Mind page, our channel. You can also go to www.lawafricamind.com and log in and support us there, become a member, or just participate in the activity, or just view the information that's on there and check out the resources. And also, YouTube, Law Africa Mind YouTube. Like, share, press the button. We need people to get involved. Law Africa Mind is an organization that wishes to network with other organizations to carry out the dream of worldwide African unity. Our ideology is worldwide African unity produces a new order of Ma'at, meaning truth. And you can reach King Ajulon at 510-386-5369. And I really enjoyed being on your show, and I salute you. Millie Queen, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Black power, comrade. Black power.
Yes, I surely appreciate you, and I have enjoyed our conversation. You are always welcome to come back, because, like I said, I want to keep this platform open so that we can come, have real conversations, bring solutions to the table. We need to network. We need to connect, because we are, like I said, it's a lot of us doing things. And as long as we stay connected and keep moving on the right road, we will be in the right positions to break these chains. We have the Arche Academy opening up the end of this month. Please contact Sister Crystal, Denise, with the Black Liberation Movement, and join before, you know, the slots are limited. So, like I said, the Arche Academy will be opening by the end of this month. Contact Sister Crystal Denise. Thank you for joining us on the Truth and Power Corner with Sis Nelly. Thank you, King Ajulon, for coming on today. I have enjoyed you. This is our third episode. Air date January the 19th, 2020. We love you all. All power to the people. Black power.
Black power.